The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Guys, before we start the show, and I don't want to be weird here, but we here at Gas Digital want you to have amazing sex. That's how we feel from the bottom of our hearts. And that's why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over 1 million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, no mess, and no pesky subscriptions required. Just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. Promescent, you spray it on your dong. Promescent, and you'll last all night long. That's a song that I like to sing for Promescent. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all of your sexual wellness products. From specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and things to stick in your holes in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So once more, go to Promescent, PROMESCENT.com and check out their assortment of products to enhance your sex life. No promo code needed and free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Promescent.com.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yeah, I know. Because I can't get right. This is cutthroat. This burns as words pop from a snub nose. This curt man scur and not give a fuck mode. Because I can't get right. Because I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.
This is Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger, and I'm in Dallas right now on the road. So sorry about the last week's show. I was at Skankfest, which got way out of hand for me, so I wasn't able to do another podcast. But I got a great guest to make it up for not making the other one last week, which is body language expert Scott Rouse.
Hey, man.
Thanks, Scott. Scott, what's the name of your show again? I keep forgetting.
It's called The Behavior Panel.
The Behavior Panel. And you also are doing like stuff for Dr. Phil or something, right?
Yeah. We've been doing shows for Dr. Phil. I've been working with him a lot, actually. So it's this time, my partner Greg and I went on and did two or three shows, and I've done four or five for him. They're all in the can. I think the next one's Monday.
What does he have you doing? Is it like people's personal things, or is it like just the kind of videos we were watching when you were on?
It's kind of like that. We did this girl, Summer Wells. She's 6 years old and she's missing from Kingsport, Tennessee. It's a pretty big deal. So the parents are in, their involvement is in question. So he had us talk to them. So Greg and I, it wasn't an interrogation. It was more of an interview that we did. And then we went and talked to Dr. Phil about it. We got a whole show. That's all we did. And then he had them come on in today's episode.
Was that the one you showed me way back when you came on with the two parents? And I couldn't tell if they were like on Oxycontin or like it didn't look like. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's them. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And how did they come off on Dr. Phil? Did they seem believable or?
We're under the impression that the father is he hasn't anything to do with it. But we had a lot of red flags with the mother. So that's the only, her behavior became in question. There's a thing called good cop, bad cop. I'm sure you've heard it. Mm-hmm. And so there were two of us talking to both the father and the mother. And one is kind of gets a little mean. The other's really nice. And I was playing the nice guy. And then the other one gets really, and then the nice guy after a while gets really mean. And then I'll run over and try to be saved by the meaner guy, and then the meaner guy gets even meaner at that point, and then they run back to me to help, you know, in other words, to sort of look for some help, and then that's when I really kind of stick it to him. But we did this in a very subtle, we did the good cop, bad cop, but in a very subtle way, where we asked about, you whittle it down to organized crime, because we're going for sex trafficking or, you know, child trafficking, to find out that's what's going on. And we asked the mother about if she knew anything about organized crime. And then my part was to say, what about the cornbread mafia? And say it really calm. And the cornbread mafia is like an organized crime syndicate, a gang syndicate in the South, from Tennessee through Georgia and Kentucky. And so that was what we asked her about. When we asked her about that, she got all upset. When she got all upset, she left. There's some things they didn't put in the show where
wow,
we're a little meaner. Well, you'd think we were mean. But she got upset about that and left. And then when he talked to her, Dr. Phil talked to her and went down the same road and asked her the same thing. And she got a little upset at that point too. So
the cornbread mafia, well, I heard of the Dixie mafia. Is that just a catch-all term for any mafia?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Yeah. It's just gangs, you know, but it's gangs of good old boys, you know?
Yeah, right. I don't think people know about them that much. I'm like, I never heard that before, the cornbread. I've heard of like finding out about rare gangs. Like, I used to date this girl that she sold acid, and she was like friends with an acid family. That's where she got it from. And they were called the Lavender family. And I don't know if it's like, I think it's like the Rainbow family. I think that's what it's connected to. So they all have like their color and stuff. And they're like hippies and like acid and, they'll kill you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's always these hippie festivals out in the woods, like all over the place. A lot of times, like Tennessee has a lot of shit like that. And yeah. But they, you know, they're like people left over from the 60s who got kind of hardened, I guess, from being in the drug business. Yeah. That's the impression I got about it. But I was like, oh, the Lavender family. It really is amazing how mafias just form everywhere. But the cornbread mafia, why would you even think to ask this mom about the cornbread mafia? Is that a common thing?
It's common. Yeah. I mean, it's the impression most people have is it's going away and it's not that big a deal, but it's alive and well. And there's, it's thought that, I've got to watch what I say, but it's thought by a lot of people that they are involved in child trafficking as well as drug trafficking. So, and weapons. So that's why we went down that road, because, yeah, that's all.
All right. Yeah, I'm just curious if it was like there was some kind of like tip off other than, because the child trafficking thing is so crazy, because there's like so much of it if you watch anybody that deals with this stuff. And then simultaneously, you're kind of like a paranoid loon if you think that, you know, I don't mean I think that, but, you know, like, oh, there's pedophiles everywhere. And you know, there is paranoia about pedophiles everywhere, but also this shit's real. So I don't know what
it's real. It's very real. And the thing is, people don't realize how close they are to it, because it's huge, man. It's huge and it's everywhere. And people don't realize how close they're seeing these people in you know, filling up with gas. There'll be a car pull up, for example, and you'll see two or three girls stay in the car. And one guy will stay in the car and want to get up, and he'll get the gas or go in and get stuff. But everybody else stays in the car. They don't even get out to stretch or anything. And there's no laughing, no goofing around. They're just sitting fairly still. There are a lot of things you can look for that will tell you that's what you're looking at. But that's one of the main places that the average person will run into them, is at gas stations or mini marts, those types of things.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. So especially with girls between, you know, 12 and 20, 21, 22, right in there. So you really have to be observant. Most people aren't observant. They'll go in, they'll get whatever they want, and they just look down, and they'll get tickets or, you know, and Reese cups or whatever they're gonna get, and they get back in the car and they fill up and get back in the car and leave, when there's all this other stuff going on around you. So if you pay attention and know what to look for, then it changes the game. You know you might be able to help somebody at that point.
Yeah,
there's that thing that you'll see now where girls will be talking to you somewhere, and you'll see them put their thumb in here and then close the hand. And that's the sign for, I need help, whether the person's being violent with them or they're being trafficked or whatever the situation is.
I've never heard that.
They won't do it like that, but you'll see they'll do it very subtly. It may be upside down. Maybe while you're talking to them, their hands will be down. You'll see it.
Wait, you've seen somebody do that? Like, you've had somebody make this hand signal to you, or you? I've never even heard of that.
Oh, you've got to. Yeah. The more people you tell about that, the better, because that way people you know who may accidentally be trafficked, we'll see that. Or if they've got somebody violent at home, that they can use that. There's a girl on TikTok who who was talking to her friend, and she did that. And it's on TikTok. I don't know what to tell you to search to find it, but I guess search help sign. But that's it. You'll see that. Little children will do it. Girls will do it. Somebody who needs help and they can't say anything because the person is there too. That's when you'll see it. So as soon as you see that, call the cops. You know, don't say, oh, okay, I get it. Don't say anything to them. You know, just say, okay, great. Well, I'll see you later. And wait outside or something. Make sure you call the cops. Don't let that person leave with that person.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that. All right. So you're like, yeah. It's that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very important. And the more people you can tell about that, and people watching this, the better off the people that you love will be. And you may be able to help somebody if you were to see that sign.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, wow. That's wild, that case. I remember watching that video and being like, I didn't think you were going to tell me about the cornbread mafia was involved.
Oh, yeah. yeah. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
So I like having these videos that we showed that, because you broke down a good one with one of those shitcoin scams that this guy made an apology.
Yeah.
And, So a buddy of mine, Jimmy Dore, has a, I just watched his channel. I don't know if you heard the news about the governor of California. I live in LA. So Gavin Newsom, I guess, like, disappeared for 10 days. Like, he got his booster and he was out of sight for 10 days straight. And everybody's like, oh, where is he? What? Is-? And, you know, I don't know what if it has anything to do with a booster or anything. I'm not saying that, but it is like probably bad optics, I would say. If you're trying to make people not nervous, because people are going to be watching that.
Yeah.
And then he came back out after 10 days, and his reason for being gone was he was supposed to go to some climate summit or something. And but he says it's because his kids were like, hey, you can't go, like, you're gonna miss Halloween. Yeah, that's his excuse. You know, I think every parent knows what that's like, to not be able to miss Halloween. I've never even heard of, I mean, what a bizarre, I was going to make a joke about it. Like, oh yeah, he had to make sure the kids had a great Halloween, I guess. And then that is what he said. That is what they said. You're going to miss Halloween. Anyway, he did a press conference or something that Jimmy showed on his show that I sent to Mike here to show. Because this is, I don't think it would take a body language expert to be like, something's off here. But maybe I'm just wrong and putting my own prejudice against him because he looks like American Psycho. So wait, will you play that, Bobby? I mean, not Bob, Jesus, Mike. Sorry.
You since I'm seven.
Okay, and you could fast forward it a little bit. I'm just Mikey,
a disproportionate amount of time with the challenge of having a spouse battling recalls, crisis to crisis. It was spending time with her and the kids, and we put out a statement accordingly.
Do you think that this has changed the way you think about the way that information gets out in this social media age? And sometimes when there's a lack of information, what happens? Has it changed the way you think about communicating at all?
I don't know. I was sort of bewildered. I drove into the office every single day, into the Capitol, walked the halls of the Capitol with my kids, spending time with my team, quite literally every single day. In my office, and I didn't see a lot of other folks. And then I started seeing some things bubble up on social media. Where's the governor? I'm like, wait a second, I'm at work. I'm doing work, I'm doing budgets, I'm doing work on port. We put out a number of statements about the work we were doing last week. So I don't know. I think what we're experiencing is remarkable mis- and disinformation campaigns that are going on across the spectrum in this country. I think this notion of vaccination misinformation is pretty well defined and documented, and it's alive and well in this case. It's just rather...
Let's stop right there for a second. He's doing what's called chaff and redirect, where he's not answering the question. He's going on to something else. Chaff is where you see those big planes going by, and they start dropping all that stuff out of the back, so the missiles will go to those instead of hit the plane.
Right.
And then when that happens and they redirect, they go somewhere. So we're seeing chaff and redirect here. Greg Hartley's the one that coined that phrase. And that's what's happening here. He's not answering the question. His chin is up a little bit. He's a little bit cocky here. And he's I don't know anything about the California leadership over there and the governor and all that, but my guess would be this is a pretty bad leader at this point, not much leadership, because it seems all about him. It's all internal, what he's talking about. He's really not, his whole thing is about him. The chin is up, that indicates that he's being a little narcissistic at this point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, this guy is notorious. He used to be the mayor of San Francisco. I think he's the one that had the great innovation to just shovel all the homeless into this one section that became some living hell nightmare. Like, he's awful. And then he's like a handsome dude, so that's how he gets elected. But with this one thing, does he seem, when he's like, I'm in the office with my working, I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
You know,
This is pretty serious. So his approach to this, it may be just shitty leadership, but he should be serious and saying, here's what's going on. People want to know. And they're afraid. They don't know what this thing is. I mean, everybody has their own opinion on what COVID is. Nobody knows what the hell this thing is. And he's laughing about it. Oh, you know, I was working. Nobody was there. So, in other words, nobody saw me. Nobody could have seen me because nobody was there. But people are asking where I am, but I'm there. Ha, ha, ha. That's just another way of adding qualifiers to what he just said. He said he was there. And then he starts all this other stuff up. And he starts qualifying the things that make it look and sound more believable that he was there. For that,
yeah, right. I
mean, you know, no need.
Yeah,
to
he's
do
gonna
that.
Get into saying that somehow it's like Trump or something. But all right, press play.
It's just rather extraordinary. And so, I think that's a good question. I think it's a question for all of us. A question in your industry. It's a question in mine and in whatever professional endeavor. How we push back against lies, misinformation, intentional. And otherwise, and it's hard. It's a fire hose. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole of conspiracies, the like, it's a challenge. And that's nothing to do with the governor's office. It's much more profound than that. All across.
Okay, stop right there. He's already putting the blame and the reasoning somewhere else. It has nothing to do with him. It's not the governor's office. It's about everybody else. What everybody else thinks. This is totally. I wouldn't believe this guy for a second so far.
It's hard, Scott, is I'm like, he's already an oily dude. Like, so I'm like, it's hard to tell what's just his basic, I guess, his baseline scumbag and what's but it just seems like a fishy thing to me. If you were aware that this misinformation is going around about you. Especially when the vaccine's so important, you just said, you would probably just videotape, hey, I'm here. It's okay. You don't have to be crazy. You know. But like, I mean, somebody who works for him should be fired for that. Just for like, All right.
Bad leadership.
It's much more profound than that all across this country. Obviously we're seeing misinformation weaponized, notably from former president of the United States, the perpetuation of the big lie and
hang on right there. You're right. You nailed that. Yeah, see how he's grabbing the podium or the lectern, and he's holding on right there because he's got to have a little confidence to be saying all this. He may believe it, and whether it's true or not, you know, who knows. But even that look on his face right there, that's a painful. That looks like pain. I mean, if you were to start looking at micro expressions and stop things, that's a look of pain. He's got his eyes, his glabella. That's what this little area here is called. Yeah. And that's been drawn in, and he's got his mouth back like that, so it looks like. Pain that he's saying he doesn't want to, it hurts him to say it's because when you lie, your brain has to do three things. It has to, number one, it has to keep you from lying. Once it says, okay, I'm going to give an answer, it says, wait a minute, man, don't tell the truth, you got to tell a lie. So then it has to make the lie up. Then once it makes the lie up, it has to deliver the lie. And you see all most of the action in the delivery of the lie. And that's what we're seeing here. And his face is doing what's called leaking and leaking the pain of lying. He knows this is, I would be under the impression. He thinks this isn't true or doesn't believe what he's saying because he's shifting the blame again somewhere else to somebody else. So that's, I don't know, there's a lot going on. I can see why you want to watch this. This is goofy.
Yeah, when I watched it, that's what I thought. I was like, this is the goofiest thing. I was watching Jimmy make fun of it and I just like couldn't believe it. I'm like Hunter Biden has more convincing laptop stories than this guy.
But I mean, look at that. That's a look of pain. His forehead. It's not quite the grief muscle we're looking at there. The grief muscle makes like an upside down horseshoe on your head, but he looks like he's in pain at this point. So,
all right, let's see. Yeah.
A big number of Republicans believe it, and this notion of voter fraud, the very direct assault on the
right there. He's just changed everything. Hang on just a second. His whole body language changed. It went from being open and using what are called illustrators. And these illustrators are the way your brain emphasizes specific words and phrases. Like I did just then, specific words and phrases. And a few minutes ago, he was all fluid and doing that when he was goofing off. Now he's getting, he's talking about the things he knows that make that, that the people on his side are going to stand up with him for. So he's doing this. Everything has changed. He's closing off and everything. So he may not believe this, what he's saying. He may not be confident about it, but he's saying it because he knows he has to. That would be my, my thought on it.
You know what I'm curious about is the people that would, that that would appeal to, like, because all these people do the same thing. Like, I, like they talk about Trump like he's their old boyfriend, and they all, there's like a thing where you're like, you know, like I said, I'm not an expert, and I'm like, this guy looks like he's lying, but there's this thing where I'm supposed to go, oh yeah, the January 6th and Trump, and so he has to lie. It's the good, like there's the, it's almost like you need a whole bunch of people participating in this lie with him. You know, that's what that misdirection is for, right? Is to be like, well, don't ask Gavin any more questions. He's fighting the good fight out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe that's just politics. And
Yeah, most of that's bullshit anyway. You know, it's all that. But he doesn't look like he has a problem doing any of that. That's the thing. It looks very smooth as he's doing it. But you're, but he's still leaking everywhere. Everything changed. Everything went down. His hands are in front of his groin, and doing, you know, protecting the groin area. That's the fig leaf. So he's not really sure
to cover your dick with your hands when you're lying.
There you go. So he's not confident about what he's saying, but I believe he knows he has to say that, or it will help him to say that, but he may not believe it himself. That's what it looks like.
And he could have, by the way, like, it doesn't have to be some, you know, he got a booster. Supposedly you can, I just felt tired when I got my shot. But you can get mild, like, flu symptoms or something from it, you know, like he might just fell under the weather. It just, like, it just seems so unnecessary.
Did you get the booster already?
No, I'm not doing that. I mean, I'll do it when, like, there's more out about it. I just watched, have you seen they did a big press conference about it with, what's the redhead's name? Saki.
Yeah.
And she was like, so the White House pushed that out about boosters. That's supposed to be for old people. They didn't approve that. And then that's why those two people from the FDA, from the vaccine department, the heads of that, were resigned, because they're like, that's not ethical. So,
okay, I got you.
You know, I don't want to get COVID, but also, like, this is what bothers me about it, okay? Because I'm not anti-vax or anything. I got this shot. I'm like, I don't want to wear a goddamn mask. So you don't have to wear a mask. Well, no, you have to wear a mask. Okay, great. But I won't get it. Well, you'll get it. But I probably can't spread it to my load. No, you can still spread it. Oh, and then, you know, like, it's like this bait and switch shit that really bothers me. And I don't think the vaccine, some people it's going to affect poorly. I don't think I'm one of them. Like, I tend to not be, you know, I took a chance. I'm like, my chance with the vaccine was better than my chance with COVID, I felt, because I smoked a long time. But like, I don't understand how people, when you sign I had to sign a thing releasing Pfizer from liability. You know, when you get the shot, you sign a thing that you're not, you can't sue them. So right there, that should make people not like, well, nothing can happen. Well, why did I sign a thing like that? That just very basically, why did I sign a date? And then it also disturbs me, the guys, let's take a quick break to talk about one of my favorite sponsors, rockauto.com. Anybody out there have a car they like to work on, or you need car parts, or maybe you're a mechanic? Well, I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. Rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years. They make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. There's no more of the hassle of going somewhere and talking to some counter guy, and they got to order something like you're in the old west from a Sears catalog. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need, whether you're a mechanic or an auto shop, or you're just working on your own car. Everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car person, go right now to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. Once more, go to rockauto.com. There's no promo code. Their pricing is already that good. And when you order, please tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger. Let them know I'm out there spreading the word about rockauto.com. rockauto.com. All right, let's get back to the show. You know, this was Trump's Operation Warp Speed, from what I understand. Trump was the guy that put this in motion. And at the time, every one of these people that says you're an asshole if you're nervous about it was like, I'm not taking that, Trump. It's the same goddamn vaccine. So suddenly a different guy's there, and it's like, now it's perfect. So that bugs me. The amount of misinformation that goes out is like, I'm getting it from the sources that were telling me that you're supposed, you know, like the famous Dr. Fauci, you don't need a mask. He did everything but say you look like a sissy with a mask. Like, I'd heard he did that, and I kind of excused it because I was like, well, I remember the great toilet paper riots, so maybe he felt they had to. But then I'm watching him. This guy's lying. He's like, no, you don't need a mask. You're going to fiddle with it. And like, wow, you're a practiced liar, dude. That's not a doctor. You have an oath you took. So that's a politician. So that bothers me because most people fight about masks. He was the one saying you don't need masks. And if you do need masks, people might have died from that. Okay, but whatever. He's Dr. Fat, again, Trump's guy, but is now the good guy. I don't know how that works. Yeah. And then, you know, now you need to double up on your masks. That's his later. Some people have thoughts of him. So this is the main source, and that's already not reliable. Then that press conference about boosters. And I opened up for Louis C.K. The guest spot, actually, I didn't open up. It was Shane Gillis and Adrian, but I did a guest spot, and a bunch of writers came to the show because Louis knows all these writers from back in the day.
Yeah.
This guy and his girlfriend is this writer who had a hot ass girlfriend who was Asian, and she's like some kind of, she does something with vaccines or you know, she's not a doctor, but she's something in medical industry. And they had just come from getting their boosters. So she's like, we just got our boosters. I'm like, well, from what I understand from the CDC, not from, you know, the White House that said, yeah, get them. The CDC said, we don't know yet. That's what, I don't remember the woman's name. She's the head of the CDC. So that's really bad. I think most people aren't watching. It's not like I'm watching that closely. I'm watching shows that show the clips of it. And I'm like, and they were all, she's like, and you can tell this guy did it because his hot ass girlfriend said, you're going to get that booster. And I brought up the thing about, you know, you're supposed to aspirate the shot. Part of the issue that people have is it's how it's administered. Now, I remember, I could be remembering wrong, the way they gave me the Pfizer one, I don't remember it being a regular needle. It looked like something they made just to give the vaccine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any, I was tired for a week and then I was fine. But if you're using a regular needle, you're supposed to draw back and make sure there's no blood. Because if that shit gets into your blood, that's really bad. That's how you get that enlarged heart and all that shit they talk about as a side effect. So it's not even the vaccine. It's the person giving it. And if they're mass giving it at drugstores, somebody's going to fuck that up, you know?
And
like I said, my friend Jimmy got sick. Where he had to get treated with that horse, with a horse apple dewormer that Rogan had. His doctor gave him that because I think he got the shot probably administered wrong or whatever he got. He got like Moderna or Johnson & Johnson. I thought Pfizer was the good one.
But yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I got.
Well, now somebody just came out and said those tests they did, there's like a whistleblower about that, you know, it's like 150 sites doing the tests and only 9 of them got inspected. And the person who raised concerns got fired because they have sloppy work. And what it sounds to me is like same old bullshit of some massive company farms out the labor to somewhere else. I mean, same thing America does. We farmed out our death squads to local militias in Afghanistan, you know, it's always farming it out. And they're like, no, there's no problem. You know, you don't think there might be a problem that this is that gigantic and not being watched by anyone. And there's a financial incentive to get it done super fast. And I think I'm probably one of the people that's lucky that it's not going to affect me. Whatever fuck ups they did with this, I'm probably one of the lucky people because I just always have been physically. But I don't blame anybody. I'm not like mad if somebody is afraid to get it. I don't see how that affects me at all. It's not going to prevent the spread because everyone's going to get COVID sooner or later. There's no like, you know, I thought the vaccine kept it from spreading. No, it doesn't. You can still spread. So I don't even understand why people are mad at each other over whether they got it or not. Like, I got it, so why am I afraid of somebody who didn't? you know, and I can't get, it's very hard to get good answers. And I'm not, I'm very open to hearing, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm very open to hearing while I'm wrong. But I've just been watching a lot of, especially with Rogan, when Joe Rogan came out and made that video and then CNN made his face look sick.
Yeah.
You know, he's sick for 3 days from it. I don't think he put it all on that ivermectin saved him. He had that other stuff, that mononuclear, what is it called? Monoclonal antibodies.
Yeah.
And I, from what I understand, he thinks that was like the thing that really kicked it out. And also he's in great shape.
Yeah. But hey, thanks for mentioning me on that show, on his show.
One, let's say he took horse dewormer. Did he steal this from an elderly, naive horse? A doctor prescribed it. So why are you not yelling at the doctor? Who, by the way, prescribed this to over 200 members of Congress, it turns out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's no vax mandates for Congress. They don't have to. There's no vax mandates in New York where that, what's her name, that dipshit governor, the one that replaced Cuomo. So all the healthcare workers that everybody was banging pots and pans together to celebrate, well, they just got rid of 70,000 of them. They laid out who didn't want to get vaccinated. Because they've already, most of them probably already had it, which is the best resistance, is already having had it. That's better than vaccine. That's the science. That's not a thing I made up. And also, it's a little disturbing to me that, like, they don't want to take it. Healthcare professionals, that's scary. Like, if you ate at a restaurant and the cooks wouldn't eat there, that's, you know, the staff won't eat there, that's a bad sign. But whatever. She kicks him out. The media thinks it's great. Replaces him with National Guard. That was the big, it's fine. It's a pandemic. We can get rid of them with National Guard. National Guard, they don't have to get vaccinated. So they replaced qualified people who were unvaccinated with less qualified unvaccinated people. And it's shocking to me watching like the main news. Like they don't even keep track of the shit they're saying that's different than the shit they just said. It's not even like you have to go look up some fringe thing to tell you this stuff. If you just watch them, you'll be like, and have a memory of any kind. Like, wait, you just said the opposite of that like 5 seconds ago. So I don't know. That's really disturbing to me. It just seems like, you know, big pharma kind of clusterfuck. Like, and also all this stuff is so political now. That's why Gavin Newsom throws Trump out. You know, well, they disputed the election. Like, what does that have to do with you? This minor thing. It doesn't even need to be anything if you just explain it better. And so now health things are like, you're like a Democrat or Republican. When if you look at the statistics, it's mostly brown people that don't want to get vaccinated. And can you blame them? People I know think it's like, oh, it's these white Trump. Trump says the vaccine's terrific. Go get it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's black people. I know, all these people talking about, you know, we got to separate them all. You're going to have segregation for brown people. That's your fucking plan. And I talk to people that they don't even think about it. They're like, no, it's like, they just have a vague blob of like this, like Trump enemy. And I just like, do you not know any black people in your life? Like, remember when they came out, the guy from, there's somebody from the CDC, but he said, I think that people of color should be given access to the vaccine first. And then Fox News was like, this is racist. And I was watching it and I was like, what black people do you know who are going to take that deal? Hey, black people, good news. You can try it first. Like, what the fuck were anybody, I didn't know what anybody was talking about. Anyway.
I don't watch the news. Yeah, that's the thing. I watch Craig's news. That's Craig's News Live.
The only real news, and I want to say this for the viewers, Craig's News Live is the only reliable news source that I've found.
comparatively, that's really all. So that's why all this is news to me, and I haven't seen this footage you're looking at today, because I'm over it, man. I'm just so.
Felt for a long time. I didn't watch any news for a while, and then I'll tell you what I like on YouTube if you watch news. I like, I'll still watch The Hill, even though I don't like the dude Ryan, the Intercept guy there, but they'll have at least interest. There's a chick, Kim Iverson, who's very good on it. I watch Sagar and what's her name? Crystal Ball, Breaking Points. A lot of shit I get from Jimmy's show because he referred me to other really good reporters. This guy, Aaron Mate, I have on. It's called The Gray Zone, him and Max Blumenthal. And they're very lefty, by the way. They're not like I'm not leftist, I wouldn't say, you know, but I just appreciate when I talk to Aaron and bring stuff up, the dude's just straight up, like he, you know, because, you know, I don't know if you know this, like I would have known this except for talking to Aaron, was in Syria, you know, like in Syria where we have been waging a dirty war for a while. And
oh, yeah.
Taking, remember Assad? He used gas, but Obama didn't invade, and he said he would. No, Assad didn't use gas. That's a very, very obvious false flag. CNN had some woman sniffing a scarf on TV. Like,
no, oh, I remember like that.
Close to me. She's the daughter of a deposed leader of there. And that's like, that's really creepy because that's when you realize how much the intelligence agencies are in the, like, in the news. Like, the MSNBC and CNN, all of them are supposed to be keeping an eye on these people, but nobody is. Yeah. They just take whatever they're handed. So if you saw the Steele dossier that these people are getting arrested for with all that Russiagate bullshit, that yeah. The news uncritically just took this information and all of it was absolute horseshit. And I knew it was, when I first heard of Russiagate, I knew it was nonsense because it just didn't make any sense why you would need to consult with Trump to put memes out. But they had a whole, he's being blackmailed by Russia, you know, all this bullshit. And Aaron and Max, like they did, they don't like Trump. They're lefties. They're just journalists. They're trying to be honest. And that's when you realize what a horrific complex all this stuff is. Like the media's own, you know, military industrial complex, people talk about a lot, but how about fucking Nestle or any of these giant companies that do as much damage and they own the, so anything you've seen about vaccine, about Joe Rogan, for example, on CNN, the commercials there, sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Pfizer. Like, you know, like, how is that not a huge conflict of interest? And I'm supposed to believe, like, I don't think they tell you what you have to say over there, but I do think the reporters there know what not to say. I know a lot of reporters, and they just know what not to talk about. Yeah. You don't even have to have a plot. They just know not to bring up certain things and bring up. So now we're locked in an eternal culture war nonsense battle because any real shit is like, you know, you'd probably be a conspiracy theorist to even bring up.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I wish I watched the news more. I would know more about that, but I can't do it anymore, man.
I want to see, cause here's another news one. Cause I think this is like the big social traction. So these guys, Fitch and Adam, who have a great show. I just did their show where they break down other like YouTube videos, and we were watching a TYT about Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, cause you said you're familiar with that, right? You did something with it or?
Yeah. I can't talk about it cause it was hired to work that case.
But you have a video or something that we can look at. You said.
Not of him.
Oh, but from the trial. Well, something, whatever you put in the cloud is what I'm referring
to. It's Travis Scott and Aaron Rodgers. The football guy.
Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Totally misunderstood you.
Okay, well, sorry, man.
No, that's totally cool if you're involved in that. But I'll tell you, like, that's the thing where I knew, hands down, that was going to be, because I watched the video. It's not like it's a mystery of what happened. You can watch. There's multiple video from every angle that show you exactly what's going on.
Yeah, they really did have a lot of that. That was the thing.
Do they have, they show what set it off, which is Kyle Rittenhouse putting out a fire in a dumpster, which angered the other guy, the child rapist that he shot. That guy comes running at him. There's a gunshot fired. He's trying to run away the whole time. So anyway, any self-defense thing I've ever heard of, that's the... So friends of mine that are like, you know, not dumb, but I don't know, they just won't watch the video. I don't get it. They're like, well, he shouldn't have been there. Oh, okay. Well, no shit. I guess a whole bunch of people should have been burned shit down. And they're like, well, he brought a gun across state lines. He's going to skate on that. That's horseshit. He shouldn't even. It's basically like an ideological thing that no one should have that kind of gun. That scares me as a New York liberal. And why would you go and even get involved? Like, that's what people say. I'm like, why would you even go down there and put yourself? Just let him burn shit down. Like, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. And to see something that's that cut and dry. That makes me think, like, I think ultimately what it is it probably shows you what they've been doing to black kids for the last however many years, is painting you up like a thing that you're not. This one got a lot of attention because it's not because he's a white guy, but because it has so many political
Oh, yeah. You
know, well, he probably, like, this is those Trump QAnon people. So you could lump it into the group, and then I don't think they give a shit about what actually happened. I think it's about, like, everything's about your side winning. But I knew he was going to get off on self-defense because it's, like, obvious. I don't even understand how they could keep pushing this forward,
yeah,
other than a political thing by that district attorney.
Yeah. I have no clue on that. I mean,
okay, so let's take a quick break to talk about our friends at Manscaped. It's the holiday season, everyone, and you're going to be seeing your family. Do you want them to know you have the Performance Package 4.0 from the global leaders in male grooming? I do. I have a very fine nose hair trimmer that I use from them. I have to say I'm quite grateful for it. Thank you, Manscaped. And not only that, it included their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to trim my balls so that my privates don't look like Duck Dynasty. Gift yourself Manscaped, or the man in your life who needs it, or just another male friend who you're comfortable enough to say, hey, why don't you shave your nuts a little bit? Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off plus free shipping with the code Kurt, K-U-R-T, that's my name, by going to manscaped.com. I'm telling you, this Lawnmower 4.0 is one of the best shavers. Why not get one and shave my name, Kurt, into your bush and surprise someone you love? Well, it's time for the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, Meta Dick. I got that from Mark Zuckerberg. I can't stick with it, but get the package. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. It's like a cornucopia horn of plenty with ball accessories. For the gifters out there, Manscaped is sealing the deal with two free gifts in their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped boxers and the Shed travel bag. It's the ultimate hack to becoming the family favorite. Hey, are you meeting the in-laws, male or female? I don't judge here. And you're meeting their father for the first time. Why not gift him with a Lawnmower 4.0 ball trimmer to let him know that his precious little angel is with the right person? Manscaped has been busy and just launched their refined body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner. Both feature the Manscaped signature scent and will help unlock your confidence this year. Your boys and body will be oh so fresh and so clean. And you can be sure that Santa will visit you because you're one of the good ones who trim their ball hair right. Now, go right now to manscaped.com. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Kurt, K-U-R-T. That's my name. 20% off plus free shipping with the code Kurt at manscaped.com. Let's be thankful this holiday season with the best gift of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. All right, back to the show. Travis Scott, the video you do have.
Yeah, yeah.
Travis Scott, who I'm vaguely familiar with because I'm old.
I didn't know who he was. I had no earthly idea who this guy was.
I guess
we just did him on the behavior panel. Yeah, we had no.
Supposed to be like trap rap or something, or it sounds like SoundCloud bullshit to me. Like I don't understand. Yeah. I never thought I'd be at this point because I remember being a kid and adults being like, hip hop's not music. And then, you know, you're like, well, there's the thing they are doing. And now I'm like, that's not what hip hop is. Like, you just, so that's, he makes this garbage, as far as I'm concerned, it sucks. But I guess people got trampled at his show.
Yeah, man. Like, I think 9 people died at this point. Yeah.
And the video is pretty horrific where you can see, like, that's my big phobia is being packed in. Like that,
oh, really?
And people couldn't move. They're just you're just part of this mass that you go where the crowd goes. It looked like a nightmare, and then you're hearing Travis Scott on top of it, so that's probably hellish. This video that you have is of Travis or of who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's of Travis, and it's his. It's a video of him telling about what he thinks about what happened. I guess he's sort of saying, you know, it's horrible. I didn't know it was going to happen. I feel bad about it. All those kind of things. So okay. We can watch it and then we'll talk about it if you want. Up.
So the ones that was lost last night, we're actually working right now to identify the families so we can help assist them through this tough time. you know, my fans really mean the world to me, and I always just really want to leave them with a positive experience. And anytime I can make out, you know, anything that's going on, I stop the show and, you know, help them get the help they need, you know. I could just never imagine the severity of the situation. We've been working closely with everyone to just try to get to the bottom of this, the city of Houston, HPD, fire department, you know, everyone to, you know, help us figure this out. So if you have any information, you know, please just contact your local authorities. Everybody continue to just keep your prayers. I mean, I'm honestly just devastated, and I could never imagine anything like this just happening. And I'm gonna do everything I can to keep you guys updated and just keep you guys informed on what's going on. Love you all.
So, yeah. What did you get from that?
It's a lot about him. He says I 8 times. He says we 3, I think 3 times. And it's just, and he mentions the people that got hurt, I think, twice, or the people that got killed twice. It seems like, again, this is one of those things where we see a narcissistic personality telling what he thinks, how he feels about something. Who gives a shit how he feels about something? If they ask him to go on, you can tell he's been told not to say some things. He's been told to say this, this, and this, and he covers those bases. And once he gets his bases covered, he keeps going because he's got to show everybody, oh, I feel bad or something. Who gives a shit if he feels bad?
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's have some information. I think what was in question was, while this was going on, he didn't stop. And I think that, again, comes to everything is about him at this point, even from what he, mm-hmm. the words he was using. That really gets on my nerves, because if you watch somebody like Dave Grohl, if you go to a Foo Fighters show and a fight breaks out, he stops the damn show and he says, hey, asshole, let's quit it. Get this, you're out. And kick. Have you ever seen that video where he kicks the guy out? You got to watch that.
No.
Because he's watching. He's watching the audience. He's watching the people there. He's paying attention to the crowd, what's going on, as an artist has to do. But this guy, it's all about him, and he's not paying attention out there. It's tough to see a lot of lights and all that, but you still can see what's going on in the front few rows. In the front few rows, there were people hollering at him to stop because something was happening. If he says, I always try to pay attention to my fans and all that, during the show, no, apparently, obviously he doesn't, because there are videos of people yelling, stop, people are dying, that kind of thing. And it doesn't stop. He's not listening. He's not paying attention to him. Maybe it was a part of a song that's really important to him or whatever. I don't know how long this went on, but his inability to communicate, one-on-one, I guess, with his audience, which is the key to that, for the longevity anyway. He's not doing it. He's not watching them. He's not doing it with them. He's doing it for him, and he's doing it and not paying attention to what's happening in the audience.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they think, since he kept going, they thought he didn't care or something. You can tell there's a lot of things on there that let you know that for sure he's stressed about it. We're seeing all kinds of stress cues, rubbing his head. I think that's part of his show, part of it though, too, because you don't see that very often. Somebody's rubbing their head. There are a couple people that I've seen in the past do that. But not over and over and over, and closing your eyes and talking about yourself. You know, he's getting a part. There's a lot of lawsuits that are in play.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So he's saying things to protect himself, you know, ahead
of time. What's the things he has to say to protect himself?
I don't know. I mean, he was saying, I didn't know what was, in other words, he said, I didn't know what was happening. I usually pay attention to what's going on in the audience, and for some reason I didn't know. And at the beginning, it wasn't there, but if you listen to the very beginning, he talks about praying to the victims. It's like, we prayed.
What? Is that what he said? I missed that.
He said, I'm sending out prayers to the victims, or the prayers to the people who died or whatever. He doesn't say it in those words, but he says, send out prayers to them.
It's kind of like you make a prayer in somebody's name to Jesus, like donate to a charity on their behalf.
You're praying for them. You know, hey, God, or Jesus, you know, shoot, man, please be these people. But it wasn't that. That's how I think disconnected he is from that, or from reality. Yeah. At this point, apparently he's a pretty big star, or a fairly big artist.
No, he is.
I've never heard of this guy before.
Yeah. Well, how old? He's young, right? He's got to be like in his 20s or something.
I would think so. He looks fairly young. Looks like a cool dude, you know. But
yeah, right.
I don't know.
If you're young and you get that famous, the fact that all these people, here's what the videos I saw. I saw a video of this packed crowd and an ambulance trying, oh, he's 30? Oh, that's a little. So there's an ambulance coming through this packed crowd, which looked nightmarish. I'm going to say, you got to drive like a zombie movie or something. And then I saw all the people crashing the gate to get into the show.
Yeah.
Only thing I had heard, which I don't know if this is 100% true, was that he was kind of like, oh, that's awesome. People crash the gate to get in, which, I mean, it would make sense to me because once you get that huge at a young age, I've watched people do it. I mean, I've seen it very up close how that works. Huh. It's already all about you when you're pursuing something like that, you know, and then when you get success at it and money at it, it's like now you're a business that supports a bunch of different things and you have access to, you know, my guess is he probably does a lot of drugs, I would say, you know, when I was 30 with not that amount of fame or money, I did a lot of drugs. And you know, Dave Grohl, you were saying, I worked with him once on an award show. Dave Grohl's super pro, like an adult. You know, that sounds just a difference of Travis Scott came off like a jerk off kid that had no idea about how severe anything is until this thing happened for some reason. Yeah. You know, that's the impression I got. And the narcissist thing, this is what I'm curious about is if it's, he's just like that, or, you know, you do get encouraged to be like that a lot. And also everyone's encouraged to worship you. You know, it's what's horrible about America compared to other places is celebrity worship here is way, you know, if you go to Canada, you can go buy a latte from the former cast of Degrassi Junior High. They don't have what we have here. You know, remember how Gaddafi, the soccer teams only had numbers and no names, so no one could be a bigger celebrity than him?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a thing, and that's like some commercial thing that everybody, in fact, now it seems worse than ever because all the, you know, you hear that shit where they're like, you're supposed to watch my friend, we haven't talked in a while, but Kumail is a comic I know, Kumail Nanjiani, he's in that new Eternals.
Oh, he is, yeah.
And I was joking with him because he got in beautiful shape for this movie to be a superhero.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's fucking fat. They pranked him. We're all going to get in shape. And then they're like, no, come as you are. So that movie, if you see the press for that, the movie, I guess, I didn't see it, but I guess it's not good, supposedly. But all the press was this is, people are going to finally see themselves reflected on these movies, you know, if you're a fat Asian kid, you're that's you on the screen. There's this insane thing that you're supposed to somebody else is going to have all the money and fame, but they're basically you and you're supposed to get invested like they're you. It's like everywhere. It's what politics is. That's what that guy Gavin was doing. Trump is basically the bad people. I'm basically hit. We're all basically this one, whoever figurehead, and then nothing of substance has to happen. But we feel they're a mirror for you now. So I don't know, that I'm just curious how much does his character defect that he started out with naturally and how much gets laid on you as you're making money and doing that, because I'm sure what went through his head, times when I've sold out, never numbers like that. Nobody ever trampled each other for me, Scott. No, but you're oh, awesome. I sold out. That's got to be very intoxicating to hear that people are breaking down the fact that they see your show. And if you don't have any maturity and you're a druggie or whatever, you're gonna be like, oh, this is awesome. And if you have an element of burn it, a child's understanding of burn it all down, rock and roll, that shit. That's probably all of that. I'm just curious of what they told him not to say. Because from what I heard, he knew that this was happening. And what happened to the Rolling Stones at Altamont? Were they found responsible for hiring the Hell's
Angels? I don't know. But did you see that? But there's video of it actually happening.
The stabbing with it?
Yeah, the stabbing.
Oh yeah, there's a whole documentary about him when the 60s ended or whatever. And they're like, that's that typical stupid like rich liberal thing. We're like, yeah, the Hell's Angels, that's cool. Like they're like, you know, they're a violent biker gang. They're like, no, they're like rebels and like the man, and then it's a fucking disaster. Like what's the book? Radical Chic. Tom Wolfe had that book, Radical Chic, about like all the kind of New York intellectuals. And they like,
Oh yeah.
They like having like, you know, you have like some Black Panthers in, and they're like, you know, you're a white devil. Like, oh, that's fabulous. Like that's stupid attitude.
Yeah.
It really is getting grosser and grosser. I'm very, the main thing I'm surprised at is I can't imagine dying to hear that guy's, I may have old ears, but when I try to listen to it, I don't know what the fuck I'm listening to.
Is it too loud? Do they drive too fast? Maybe their hair is too low.
It's not loud. It's just there's no, there's a bunch of rappers working now that are like great at what they do, you know? Like, he's not like a lyric guy. He's like the kind of horse shit that,
yeah, but I guess the, think about it. We were around when hip hop started, man. When it began and got up in it then. So we haven't, you know, we have an understanding that even kids who are into hip hop today, they don't have that understanding. They don't know what that is. Even Run DMC, most of them don't even know who the hell that is.
You know? Oh yeah. Well, I mean, even like, I could like Run DMC. I was real young when that came out. I'm just surprised by, well, you know what? Here's the other byproduct too, is now you could get big off of SoundCloud or something. You don't really need to go through the traditional like gatekeepers for all that shit, which is kind of a good thing. So, and people will support, you know, like those sketches I make with Kyle, which don't have the best production values, but I noticed people like them better because of that, because it's the kind of do-it-yourself
thing. Yeah, man.
So that could be a thing with his music. It's like people like this guy made this like, you know, it's like the appeal of punk rock. What it looks like to me is like punk rock, where it's like anybody can be in a band. You don't have to be good. It's better if you're not even good at it, you know?
Hey, so what happened with Kyle's show? What happened? Because I watched it today. Because
we had a technical problem that, I don't know, I think Jessica hit like something wrong. It was, I understand how she made the mistake, but.
So now, she's moving for real?
Well, she's still doing the show. I think she has a boyfriend or something in Portland is what the deal is.
Okay.
She was living in his garage apartment. Like the whole thing where I live in Sloan's garage, that's actually Jessica lives in the garage.
Okay. Yeah.
And she got a boy. I don't know if she met the boyfriend from the show. I don't remember, but I think that's why she's going to like Portland. I would do anything. I would be like, why don't you leave Portland and come? Yeah. I don't want to be in fucking Portland. Yeah. I think it's still on fire. Like, I think Portland's been on fire every day for the last like 7 months.
Yeah. It's a great place, but man, I couldn't live there. You know,
it used to be way better. And that's when that show came out with Fred Armisen.
Oh, yeah, Portlandia. Gosh.
Yeah, look how cute it is. And it's really funny because with the very first episode, they explained the appeal of Portland to like Fred and Carrie. So Fred's a New York guy who's like, imagine if Al Gore had won back in the day. And it's like, you know, 90s, like, and so all these people with money that are like, you know, liberal, not leftist, liberal, it's like, oh, it's so quirky and cute. And they don't understand the people living there, like what Oregon is or what Portland is or Seattle is. Like, there's a whole bunch of like crazy, like Antifa is largely unorganized other than a few like cells of it that are in Portland, like Rose City Antifa. That's the ones that always, that wanted to get that guy Andy No, that got hit with the glass, you know.
Oh, wow.
The Asian day guy, they all hate him. So there's people, oh, there's no such thing as Antifa, you know. You always hear this like downplayed depending on what side you're on. So if you're a liberal, you'd be like, oh, stop talking about Antifa, that's not a thing. And no, it is a thing, and they hate you, the people that are in it. And even worse than that, the fact that it's not really that well organized nationally, any crazy can just be a part of it for the day, you know. Yeah. And that's how all these groups do now. Like, take your pick of whoever people don't like. Like, Jimmy interviewed a Boogaloo boy and everybody gave him shit because the guy turned out was gay and not right wing, and I think was defending Black Lives Matter. That's why they were there. But the narrative is that there's these groups that are like, you know, what I think is like, there's probably a lot of COINTELPRO shit, just like the 60s, where just like it, you know, January 6th, or what was that kidnapping plot for Governor Whitmer of
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that, yeah.
And it was like more
all that stuff.
Plotting than actual conspirators.
Yeah.
And that's what we did, by the way, the whole war on terror. There's like 300-something cases of people where, of bullshit, not real terrorists. We farmed the labor out to some guy, some expert, who then went to mosques to find crazies, give them money, plan a terror attack for them, for people that could never even carry it out, and then the FBI comes in and arrests them and makes a big show out of it. And meanwhile, while they're dicking around doing that, the Boston Marathon bombing happened, which they had warnings about right and left. But it's like from The Wire, the juke the numbers thing. This juking the numbers shit has been going on so long. And the interesting thing is to see it now affecting like coming home. Like nobody really gave a shit. I didn't really think about it too much when it was like the Muslims and the, you know, yeah. The war on terror. I was in New York when the building blew up and I was like, you know, well, somebody's
not close. Did you see it? Did you see it?
I was in Long Island City, which is across the Hudson, or I think it's the Hudson, I don't remember. But I have pictures of it where I'm standing on the roof. And so one building had went, and then we went up on the roof and the other building got hit.
Wow.
And the city smelled like bodies. I just remember it smelled like, I didn't really even know what dead bodies smelled like to that degree, but you could smell it. It was like,
You never forget. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a real distinct thing. And it's not like so strong, but it was like, what is that smell like? And it was everywhere. And probably whatever particles we all breathed in being around there. And I didn't really give too much of a shit about what we were going to go, you know, when they're like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do something. But what do we have this military for if we're not going to get some kind of get back? And then people started saying it's an inside job and all that nonsense. They're like, they don't need to make an inside job. We were all stupid and we're like, yeah, no, Iraq. That makes sense. They had nothing to do with it and you have to go there. You got to start somewhere. You don't even need a lizard person conspiracy for that. Or like hologram jets. That's what somebody actually told me, that they were holograms.
That whole thing is just so out there, you know?
Well, there's a thing where people don't trust. You really can't trust any institution now. I mean, maybe you never could. Yeah. And I like, it's funny seeing the establishment freak out, because there is a real thing going on where a bunch of white people that had no idea what it was like now know what it's like. And that's scary to these other people at the top who still think it's, you know, Obama times in their head or whatever the fuck they think. It's because all those conspiracies I used to hear, those were all from black friends almost exclusively. And then around 9/11, I started hearing like, what, like the Illuminati or the the classics.
Yeah.
No Jews died on 9/11. That was a black thing. That's what I remember. Okay. But now you'll see it. So there's an entry level to not trusting the establishment for every intellect. So if you're dumb and you need it to be that they're lizards, there's that for you. Or you feel like, I think the earth is flat. I don't even trust you about the shape of the earth.
But you know? Isn't that a joke, though? The flat earth thing, isn't that a joke? I mean, didn't they find out, or do they think that? Who the hell is going to really think that? You know what I'm saying?
Do a bunch of people. And they're mad that you don't already. I've done a lot of podcasts, so I probably know more flat earthers than the average person, you know, in person.
Who are like leaning into it. Like, yeah, it's true.
It's been around forever. They're, in Michigan, I was actually writing I was trying to write a script years ago about, there's a place called Zion, Michigan, that was founded by some cuckoo religious cult that was based around flat earth. And the guy set up a secret police force. It was like, no women can't ride horses, no globularists, which is what they call the people think the earth is round. And then they had secret police that enforced all this crazy shit in this town. And then they'd send the secret police that they had there into other towns to make sure people from their town weren't like drinking or breaking the laws of their town.
Real wild somewhere shit else. That
you're not allowed to do. And the only reason it came down was not anybody like, hey, you can't, a government vote can't do this. The guy had some like tax problems or something. And that's what brought the town down. But there's been, because it's Bible. It's like, if you're a real fundamentalist where you're like, you know, so dumb that you can't even get in your head that maybe this was written along, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses are, I wouldn't say fun, kind of fundamentalist. Like, I thought those stories were true. I thought those were all history. Mm-hmm. Okay, all that stuff. So fundamentalist to that degree. But we didn't think the Earth was made in 6 days. And we didn't think, what do you call it? Like, some of the dumber things that you hear, you know, like, we thought the Earth was round because the Bible said in Job that the God is hanging the circle of the Earth upon nothing at all. Like, oh, that's, you know, that's what it's like. We're in space. The Earth's a sphere, not really a circle, so it doesn't really work. But that was, you know, we would make at least meld it to the shit that you can't deny now if you bother to look into it.
Yeah.
So if the people that really believe in flat Earth, that was a Bible thing in America, at least 1800s, and very fringe. Not a lot of people knew. I used to have a book called Kooks. It's by Donna Cosey. This is pre-internet. This woman in San Francisco collected every fringe belief she could find and made a museum of it. Okay, now the internet is like obsolete, but really great book. And it has everything from people who think dinosaurs are like devils, like that Satan made, and, you know, just everything. And kind of like outsider artists. Donna Cosey, Kooks, great book. I don't know if it's even in print still, but if you get a copy, it's great. So I heard of, that's when I, in 1995 or six, I'm like, oh, people think the Earth is flat. So it was weird. I started to hear about it more, like, you know, 20, 30 years later. Wow. And it's like, now they have conventions, and it's not religious all like that. It's people, the smarter ones will be like, I don't know why they're lying about it. It's really weird that they do that. I don't know why. Because they know not to say what they think, which is probably something crazy. Oh. The dumber ones will tell you it's because there's a soul net around the Earth and it's to keep your vibrations low so you can't meet God or whatever the fuck. Like, the dumber ones have a whole thing, but the slightly more savvy ones, they just say, no, I'm just saying the Earth is flat. For some reason, they're lying to us. And they will. I like talking to them. I don't think they're a problem. I think it's fine. I don't know what it affects if some dummy thinks the Earth is flat. If the Earth is flat, what would that change about my life? Nothing. I think people make, you know, if misinformation is such a big deal, how come we went into Iraq and everything turned out fine? There was no need to punish anyone or, you know, throw, like, New York Times didn't have to be canceled for saying there was yellow cake uranium. It's now misinformation's a thing for a politician to make a big deal about, as if that's the threat. So it's all like these losers in court, you know, like the January 6th losers. Those are all people that, you know, they're low. That's why they're there. They grabbed onto this stuff. Like, oh, that's the real threat. Is it the dummy? Somebody took a shit in Pelosi's desk. That's our big 9/11 now. So now, because there's no trust and these people aren't getting the message that are in charge, or they are getting it and they don't care. I can't tell which. You have to hate your neighbor because they're stupid and they don't believe the thing you believe. And we need that more than ever for some reason now. So you got to hate the unvaccinated and you got to hate, you know, a flat earther. Somebody told me it was dangerous that that basketball player tweeted that. A guy knows, a sportscaster who's into astronomy. He goes, that's dangerous that Kyrie Irving would tweet that he thinks you're, well, what? This is the least dangerous thing I've ever heard of ever happening in human history. What a basketball player thinks about the Earth. Like, if we were going to him from NASA and asking him his feelings, that might be, I guess, dangerous for a rocket mission. Or, like, you know, if he thinks basketballs are flat, I would be concerned for him. But it's dangerous, no, not in any way, shape, or form. And so, I don't know. This is the new danger now, to take away your fucking rights, basically. That's why I like, I'm totally reversed of how I used to feel about gun people and all, whatever kooks are stockpiling weapons, because they could say all day. Now, I wouldn't own a gun because I'm afraid of it. I like shooting them, but I don't have one in my house. Like, I don't want to even, I'm just not cut out for that. But I like that some people do, because if this shit gets any crazier, where they, now that we got the biometric scans and it gets any more China-like, and I think you heard Biden say, like, oh, who are you going to fight the government? You know, that's what I say. Like, how are you going to fight the government and tyranny with your fucking shitty AR-15? And they have drones and all that. You know what? Of course they can. We just got our ass kicked by a country from the fucking Stone Age for 20 years straight. Obviously, you can very successfully do that. So I'm not like, I just want there not to be these monopolies of power. That's what I'm into now. Yeah. Like, I like that there's independent, because I don't trust any of the monopolies like that you're supposed to trust. I just don't. And I think your best bet now is to have a checks and balances of like, you know, well, let's hope that Disney doesn't like what Nestle is doing. You know, like that's your branch of the government now. And you have to hope for as many little groups as possible split up to keep things from turning full China, is my feeling.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my bet. Wait, I want to see your other video. I keep going on these tangents. Oh. I got to do a show, so I'm trying to like.
Oh, okay.
Get into podcast. If I'm in podcast mode, I can do a good show. Like the mode of too long. I don't know. Yeah. This podcast is really not an interview show. It's me blowing hot air mostly. All right. So just
like it. Show,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you vaccinated?
What's his like? Why is this? Why were you watching his body language? Because I don't follow sports at all.
Okay. I don't either. I don't know shit about sports. But apparently what's happened was this guy said he'd been immunized. He didn't say he'd been vaccinated. He said he'd been immunized. Then he tested positive for COVID.
Wow.
And he plays for whoever that team is. And he's throwing these guys under the bus for not getting vaccinated. And he didn't either, you know.
Wait. So he was, because if you are immunized from that's better than the vaccine. That's what the science says. That's not a thing I made up. Mm-hmm. So fair enough on him, but he was trashing people who didn't get vaccinated and he didn't, is what you're saying.
Well, wow. Yeah, he says he doesn't hold, he goes, there are some players that didn't, but I don't hold that against them. You'll see it in here. You'll see it.
And what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized. You know, there's a lot of conversation around it, around the league, and a lot of guys who have made statements and I've made statements, owners who've made statements. You know, there's guys on the team that haven't been vaccinated. I think it's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys.
Yeah. So he's coming on like, yeah, I've been vaccinated, but they haven't, but I'm not going to hold it against them. Come on, man. You know, I was cool with him until he said that. You know, who says immunized? That's the first time I'd heard.
I don't need it because I mean, that's how I took it. It's like, I don't need to get the vaccine because I had it. That's what I imagine that means.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anybody say that before, especially in a situation like that. You'd say, I've been vaccinated. That's it.
Well, because the vaccine doesn't immunize you. That's one problem. It just raises your chances of survival. And so that's like very, I mean, that looks very like dark eyes darting around, but I would say in defense of him, like, if like, who wants to go through this shit of saying, like, the thing I'm saying, I don't know, but probably on YouTube, it'll be a problem that you even said that shit about natural immunity, but natural immunity is like 70%. It's something like 70% better than the vaccine. Hmm. After I got the vaccine, I got sick, but it felt like I had a flu, but it was like almost over. Like I had a cough, but it got dry. It was like when you're getting over a cough, and I was like, oh, maybe I got COVID. I was hoping it was COVID. So I'm like, this ain't so bad. And then but it turns out you can get other things still. That's not the only thing there is left in the world. So he probably doesn't want to go through the shit you're going to go through to say like, I had it, so I don't think I need it. I mean, what would happen to him for that? Like he probably has all kinds of stuff on the line, right? Like where it could like come down on him.
It is, I believe. I think some people some of his sponsors or whatever, you know, they're the way sports people do. I think they're distancing themselves from him. I think he's lost his deals with some sponsors.
So. It's the sponsors, dude. That's the thing. You're going to lose it because they don't want to be associated with anything. Now, once Facebook Meta, when Mark Zuckerberg's Meta comes out and we live in, and we won't even have to hear about sensitive topics. We won't even have that talk. We'll all just have elevator music of conversation.
Yeah. What is this Meta thing? Do you know what the hell's going on? When does it start?
Guys, we got to take a quick break to say that this episode is sponsored by our friends at Blue Chew. You know Blue Chew, the chewable tablets that help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. If you've ever tried to buy those things after seeing a doctor, I think you know how expensive it is. Why not cut out some of the middleman and pay less for the same ingredients? It's an online prescription service. So there's no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about how you'd like stronger, longer lasting boners, and no waiting in line at a pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package that says not Blue Chew all over the outside of it. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills? Well, there's no problem. I just said it's chewable. Are you listening? Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. I can't say that to you enough. You don't have to swallow pills. You can chew your way to a nicer boner. The tablets are made in the USA. It's not some foreign aftermarket crap. They prepare and ship direct, so that's why it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you'd like some extra confidence in the bedroom, you know, maybe with somebody you don't know that well, and you got to bag it, had a couple of, been partying a little bit, who knows, what are you going to do? Are you going to be confident and visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information? Here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Kurt, that's my name, K-U-R-T, at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Kurt, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast and also some great boners. He's rebranding Facebook. He's in, you know, you saw that whole thing with the whistleblower.
Oh, yeah.
Whistleblower who, about how, and I'm reading her things that she says they did. And I'm like, I'm not seeing, you're not including like the stealing the data and all, you know, all the shit that's bad that they do is not in there. Mm-hmm. All that's in there is he's not helping my side politically, which is why you see a whistleblower showing their face, because if she was a real whistleblower, she'd have to go move to Russia or something. Yeah. You can't be a, there's no star whistleblower. So
that's true.
And the other, I didn't come up with this. Several other people mentioned this, but it's a great point. You notice she's not saying, okay, so Facebook's dangerous because all this information flows through it. Okay. We need to break this monopoly up because it's dangerous to have it all. No, we just need us to be in control of this great system. Yeah. To just ensure it's just what we want. So that's not really doing anything. That's just offering me another kind of fucking horseshit. And the only people that think that that's a whistleblower are like Democrats. Like if you're like a blue MAGA, I don't know who made up blue MAGA, but it really applies. There's like blue MAGA people that, you know, everything's like, no, we're the good guys. And it's like the, you ever hear the philosophy thing of, is God great because he does great things, or is God great because everything God does is great?
Oh, and, didn't think about that.
I never had either. Before. I saw it, and I remember growing up, God was great because everything he does is great. That's what it said. God can do whatever the fuck he wants, and it's automatically good because he is good. I mean, don't worry, it won't be bad because he's good, even if, you know, but that's what they apply to themselves. So all their morals are derived from politics. They're not bringing morals to the politics, because then it would collapse several narratives, right? So you have to start out with, well, we're the good ones. And I just know all these people that that's their driving thing is, I'm better than you. And as the great Anna Kasparian once said, that's their entire, what's his name? The guy who wrote What's the Matter with Kansas? Thomas Frank.
Okay.
He wrote another book called Listen Liberal. It's all about, like, you know, what's the matter with Kansas? Why are these people voting against their interests as they, you know, and he lays out, yeah, how destroyed all these people were by Clinton, fucking Democrats and the NAFTA and all that shit. I didn't know. I lived in New York doing comedy, so I wouldn't even know what the fuck people were going through anywhere else other than traveling a little bit. That's how I knew Trump was going to win in 2016, because I would travel and I'd be like, I don't know. It doesn't look like he's going to lose to me. And but these people have gotten more bubbled and bubbled in. And I just know them up close. I've just been up close with so many of them. And they're so like, they don't know what they don't want to know. And they know they're the good ones. And they know there's the bad. And as things get crazier, they retreat more and more into it, much like a QAnon person or whatever. It's the same exact things, but you have your, you know, high class QAnon is Russiagate. That's for like, if you're like an elite, your crazy conspiracy is that Trump something, Russia, Hillary would have totally won if not for Russia's dank memes that Trump fucking, you know, that's a fucking conspiracy that there's going to be no punishment for any of these news organizations. I guess the people getting arrested, the couple Fall Guys now are getting arrested for that Steele dossier. But there's not going to be any real, and these news organizations that want to come down on like Joe Rogan, let's say, for just saying what his doctor gave him.
Yeah.
Even if Joe Rogan said, like, I don't know what he said that is so inaccurate or misinformation. I'm sure he has said something. He's a fucking comic, but his hit rate's got to be about 90% better than every major media outlet by a lot. So there's
he's the news now. Yeah, he's the, if you want to find out what's going on, watch Joe Rogan. That cat's everywhere, man. He's all over it.
Well, he's a good interviewer. He has like really great guests. Unlike me, I don't know how to interview properly. I just blather. But he sits there, and then this is what converted me to watching his, because I never watched Rogan's show. I'd been on it back in the day times.
No, man, I've been watching it for years. I'm all up in it.
Dude, I started watching the clips on YouTube, and the one where I was like, oh, he's like really good, was when he had the guy from Adam Ruins Everything. Remember that show, Adam Ruins Everything with the
I know. I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was amazed at that because I watched this. I know people that worked with him. I worked with I won't say her name. She's great. This producer who was trashing him with me. And he's a pompous idiot. Okay. And his show is not like accurate. He acts like it's like, you know, he's dropping some knowledge on you, but it's just fucking garbage. So he's arrogantly, he's like, I'm talking to this dumb jock, Joe Rogan. They all think Joe's dumb. And it's not that Joe's claiming to be smart. He listens, right? And then he asks these basic questions I wouldn't even think to ask because I'd be so fucking freaked out from the stupid thing the person just said.
Yeah, but he's great that, mate. That's the thing. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit about anybody thinks or what anybody says. There's that stoic thought and that stoic way of living. And that's him, man. He's totally that, you know?
Yeah, right. That's it makes people upset. It actually is like... you can actually tell like how much of like a bigot someone is because I don't mean like racial. I think that means racist to people, bigot, but it's not, you know, obviously what the word means. Because all these people I know are like bigots. Like the people I know in New York who are my friends who are like, oh, Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty of a thing. It was because they're bigots. They're mad because he lives some life they don't live and they can't believe that he's exercising any rights that he was allowed to exercise. Same thing with Rogan. He looks like a jock and he likes fighting and he thinks that trans women shouldn't fight actual women. That was what him and Adam talked about, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan asked very basic. He goes, okay, well, if your child's a woman inside, why can't they just live as a female? Why do you need to give them puberty blockers or hormones? And then Adam's like, well, all the trans people I know are like, hey, that little kid was me. You know, that was me, that kid. And Joe goes, but it's not them. It's a separate person. Maybe they had a similar experience, but no, it's not them. Because Adam was parroting that shit, which Drew, I was talking about Travis Scott, like, ooh, I'm reflected. That's me.
Yeah.
And Joe just said a very basic thing I wouldn't even have thought to say. And then I watched Adam fucking go, I don't think we should talk about this because we're not trans. That's, he had to back out of the whole conversation from being cocky, which is a really amazing. So that converted me to watching the show. He has great guests on there.
Did you see that clip? That, and I don't think he put it out. Somebody else did. If he was in some bar with somebody and they had one of those bags that you do, except you just hit it as hard as you can. And my God, man, these guys, it was watching him hit this bag, just like they would punch it and the number would be really high or whatever. Man, I can't imagine. And the guy's so, if I could do that, man, I would just be the biggest asshole, I'm sure. Because you'd be walking around going, hey, man.
You don't become like that until you have enough brain damage from fighting. Like, I don't think he has CTE that a lot of... I used to know... you remember Mayhem Miller from MMA?
Yeah.
Funny guy. I used to like him, too. I mean, I don't dislike him now, but I think his brain's fucked up. I think he got, like... a lot, you know, there's that guy who beat that, his girlfriend, like, it was horrible what he did to her. I remember what his name was. He beat her like a trans woman fighting a woman in the ring. And, but that, you know, they always push this stuff as it's better than boxing. War Machine. You know, boxing 100%. I know boxer. You've probably met boxer before. You know, when they're punching.
Oh, yeah.
And MMA was always supposed to be like, it's better because it's better to actually just get knocked out clean than take sustained blows. But yeah. It turns out it's just as bad. It's like people get there. People get, you know, in fact, I'll bet you a lot of these, you know, OJ, I'm sure, was a CTE thing, yeah, that probably built up over. He has a big fucking head that's like,
yeah,
probably rammed a lot. And that guy Jason Hernandez, remember him, the one that he kept getting hit in the head until he turned all gay and murdery. And like, and I saw other people like, well, I have CTE, I don't do stuff like that. And I'm like, well, it's a crapshoot, man, it's a wheel of CTE. Yeah. I'm wondering how much shit we're gonna find out is like brain damage or what's that stuff that's in everybody now? Phthalamites, microplastics that is in all of us, and children's taints are smaller now.
See, I got Joe Rogan's hat. I wear my Joe Rogan hat all the time too. I'm one of those. I'm a fan.
He bought a Joe Rogan
hat. That was good.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that can you good. Imagine getting humiliated like that and then you have to buy merch from the guy? That's the most brutal. That's the most brutal blow of all. Is you get embarrassed and then you have to buy his merch. Yeah, but anyway, Rogan, I will say this straight up, of people I know in the business for many years, probably one of the most straight up, just like good guys.
I think you can see that on him. See, that's, here's the thing. There were two guys that I wrote letters to every day in high school. It was Bootsy Collins and then Roger Troutman of Zap. And so, and every day in high school, I still got someone that I never did get the mail off, and I read them, and they're corny, but I'd write, "Dear Bootsy," you know, I'd tell them what I was doing that day, and, "Hey, man, you're the greatest." And then I went on to do a couple of records with him and got to know him. And the first time I met him, I went to Memphis. And when I went in to meet him, I was ready for him to be up in the corner of this, where the signal was, like, float down and go, "Hey," all that. And they said, "Scott, what are you doing, man?" And I was like, it was great because I could meet him, but he wasn't that,
yeah, right. You know,
but he was as cool as I always thought he would be. Like, to this day, I love the guy. And he's, I know him. And he's the greatest guy in the world. And I think that's the way Joe Rogan is too. I think he'd be just exactly what I think he would be. I would hope he would be.
Yeah, that's why he's I always bring up Patrice O'Neill because, Patrice is a dude that people, like, if you had any, like, phoniness about you, you hated him. Like, because he would not even do the standard politeness to phonies that is kind of required in the business that we were in. Now being like, this is what's so gross about the times now. Honesty is actually toxic. It's considered toxic. Yeah. And I don't mean honesty like you're right necessarily about what you're saying, but just being honest. Yeah. Like you're a toxic person for that. And that shows you what a fucking sick, you know, there's a reason Jehovah's Witnesses are like doubled in size since I left. Because if I was going to go preach this to people, I'd be like, look around you. It looks like so the idea that God's going to wipe it out gets pretty appealing to people. But it really is like up is down now, where like it didn't used to be like that. It used to be you could be a real ass motherfucker and that was a good thing. And it's completely changed.
These days, though, see, and this is what it looks like to me. Comedians are going to save this thing, I think, because they keep look at
Chappelle.
Bill Burr.
Chappelle. Chappelle's the only guy I know. I was looking at, I wrote for that show, the Chappelle Show. It's on HBO Max, only season 1 and 2, because he didn't want them show. Season 3 was kind of after he left, Comedy Central put together, like Neil had what they shot. And Chappelle muscled them into not putting the season that he didn't approve on there. Okay.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And there's a contract that they could totally do that. But I guess like the George Floyd thing was happening or something at the time. And like, they didn't look back. That's one of the few people I know. Besides, I guess Rogan, but Chappelle especially, because Chappelle, like, they all have to do bit. Well, but I guess both of them have this thing where they want Chappelle specials. Netflix wants Chappelle specials. You know what I mean? Like, Mm-hmm. So how many, like, one single person do you know who could stand up to a megacorp and make them? And you know, at the time, I didn't know why he ran to Africa. I thought it was, like, kind of fucked up, to be honest, because that whole story that went around was not why he went. They just said, oh, well, somebody laughed too hard at a thing. None of that was real. But I know why he went now. He used to have a joke about it after you get, like, 50 million. They go, Dave Chappelle, meet the real white people. And they pull, like, a curtain. Because that 50 million, it's not slavery. That would be silly. But you are, it's like a we gave you this money and we own your ass, kind of. And he definitely has a massive ego. I think he's like a genius comic. So I'm not, like, trying to say it.
I think so too, yeah.
I wouldn't have the ego to run to Africa, which I think was the right thing to do now, looking back. Yeah. I wouldn't have the balls to do that. And or like Rogan's got the balls to, you know, Spotify's not going to lose their $150 million investment because some blue hair. That's how I think it will save it, is because, by save it, I mean in a corporate sense. No,
it's going to turn it around. Look what Kyle's doing, even, where he goes, my favorite superheroes who are queers. When he does that, you know, and you're like, but it's still making those tiny little steps towards, you know, people going, oh yeah, this is stupid. We should kind of.
Well, you know where that came from? It was my friend Ethan Van Sciver, who's a comic book artist, used to do Green Lantern. And, like, Jeff Johns, who worked with all those DC movies that came out. Like, and Ethan's amazing. He's an amazing artist. He got run out of the comic business, right, for DC, because, like, word got around that he voted for Trump. Like, that's his crime. So they were like, we're going to get rid of him.
Wow.
And he... I mean, by the way, another guy, he went off on his own. He does better than he ever did. All the people that work on these things, this is how I think. I relate more to Ethan because I always worked for these companies. I wrote for like a joke butler. And then you know, I got all kinds of awards that are worth nothing on my fucking, on a table in my apartment. Like, who gives a shit about any of them? What I should have done was just worried about a podcast. You know, like, that's what I should have done, but I didn't have the sense to think that way. I even have, I'm like, I didn't want to learn business. I just wanted to be like a jerk. I wanted to be like a Travis Scott level jerk off and just do the fun part. And I didn't care about, I liked writing for other people, like people I wrote for. I wrote for, like, everybody who you think is good at it and some who you probably don't think are good at it. Like, I literally did. I should have been doing my own thing. I didn't really have, like...
Wait, let's talk about that a minute. So tell me about all your writing stuff, because I know Cal's a big writer, and you are too.
On a humor show, yeah. Well, the first thing I did was Marin. I wrote for him for his VH1 show. That was my second job was Chappelle. And then, the roasts I would write for. I mean, I wrote for a lot of, like, kind of shit. And, you know... Or
so how does that roast thing work? You go, you they assign you to somebody. Is that what happens?
No, they had a core team of these guys that are like killers. I mean, every one of them's a fucking killer. Fucking Ray James was the head writer. Mike Ferrucci.
Tony's one of them.
Who?
Tony, from Kill Tony.
Tony would come. He probably came in with Ross. See, I came when I wrote for the one I wrote for was Sheen, the Charlie Sheen one. I had done warm up the year before, like Jezelnik had done warm up. Then they bring in guys for like a week or something to fit in. Okay. So it's like the week leading up to it. So I wasn't part of like that core team. I was very intimidated by them because they were excellent. That's the last time I really hung out with Patrice a long time was at that roast because he wouldn't share his jokes with the writers. What you're going to say, Comedy Central, all the, you know, they don't like people improvising, whatever. They want to put something in prompter. And Patrice had like this stuff script, and he was like, I'm not sharing my shit with your smarmy white writers. It was just have Kurt come to my hotel room. So then I got assigned to him because he made a problem for them for the production. They were mad too. Like, they put him on last. I think they put him on last to fuck with him for that. Not the writers, but. Because after I worked with, the reason he did that, by the way, was I had talked to him on the phone knowing he was coming in, and I said something. I don't remember what I said, but I was like, you know, just don't. I was trying to go how Jezelnik, he did warm up, then he wrote for it, then he was on. I wanted to be on it. Okay. Now, Patrice would never be on those roasts because he was against them fundamentally, because he's like, I don't know the person. A roast is supposed to be people who love you. Jeff, because he was very good at roasting, Jeff Ross, kind of like, he kind of is the one that changed it, where it wasn't like your friends. It was like Comedy Central have a comic that's good at jokes. And then Jeff grew into the guy where he like knows and loves him. But Patrice had a fundamental problem with that whole idea that like, you're just going to, because it's just mean if it's not your people who love you. Yeah. And they would do things like friends of the, you know, like for Sheen, I know he wanted Richard Kind, who I guess was his friend. And they didn't want Richard Kind because he wasn't hot enough. You know, that's ridiculous.
Oh man, that guy is hilarious. He's so funny, man.
And we would have given it, we wrote, you know, Tyson did his jokes great. I remember we all worked with him in the room, and like that guy, every time I see him, I wonder if you remember me now. I haven't seen him in a while, but for a guy who got punched a lot, he's like, hey, Kurt, nice to see you. Like, couldn't believe that he even remembered me from those times, but always cool when I talk to him. But anyway, I asked Patrice to like, I said something like, because I was worried about, they know I'm friends with him, and I don't remember why, because it seems like really bitch-like on my part when I think about it. But I didn't want to like alienate them and it would fuck my thing up. And I was like, I said something like, you know, don't. I like the writers too. They're good guys. Like, I don't have anything against it. But I made a thing of like, kind of like take it easy on them in some way. And he was like, why do you sound scared? He was outraged that I sounded nervous. And that's why he made that whole stink for me, which took me years to realize. I had to call Jonathan Branstein, his manager, who was there, because my dumb low self-esteem didn't even understand this at the time. And then we talked for 2 hours. We explained the business to me and why I don't want to, you know, every piece of shit. He's talked about this on other stuff. You can hear on like O&A about the dragon's mouth and people lining up to get eaten and shit out. Yeah. And he was like, don't ever be afraid of these people. Like, I don't even want to hear you sound like that again. And then he went on, like he had already ideas of his jokes that we polished so that it could go into prompter, but I didn't like write them for him. I don't want to make it like that. But then he just went off the cuff at the end and he changed the entire atmosphere of the room when he went on. Cause it was like, and the guy sitting next to me who was a producer who was dating the redhead from Grey's Anatomy. I can't remember her name, but she's like a husky voice in car commercials. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Patrice went on, he goes, wow, this is so different and like real. I remember the guy saying that next to me, because it was. They did all the jokes. I got a bunch of jokes on. That's what was my big concern. Like, did I get my jokes on, you know? And then he fucking at the end killed. And it was like how like a legendary thing. And like, you know, William Shatner was like friends with him after and all that. And I still remember that. And before that, I had no less than at least three, I don't even know their positions at Comedy Store, like three important that I know they're high up. Like, so how's Patrice's set looking? Is it looking like, where I was like, is this going to be my fault if it's not okay? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Was Jeselnik writing on that as well then?
He was on it. He was on it that year.
Okay. Cause I know he was on it, but I mean, my God, his thing, his setups are like hand grenades, you know,
well, you know, he does.
Here's a hand grenade and he pulls it. And he throws it, and it blows up.
He told me how the way he started writing jokes was he bought joke books and then just thought of ways to take the structure and
put
jokes up.
I heard him say that on a podcast with Santino.
Yeah, right. And they're good. Like, I like jokes, too. Like, I like any kind of joke that's, like, well-written. I like, you know, people like that. Like, it's just, like, the basic thing that is good.
Like, yours are more of a flow. Then everybody has their own kind of thing.
People probably then. I was always trying to be like Attell and Patrice kind of. Like, those were my main like people that I was like copying kind of, or you know, I mean like take it, but you know, you see these people you look up to and you're like, oh, I want to be like that. So I was trying to like mishmash that. And because I think over a long period of time, like an hour, if you do jokes, it starts to blur together, even if they're good jokes. You know, but Jeselnik is great. Like, I don't want to say he's better.
But that's his style. But your style is more of a flow than his is not a flow. His is more of like, it's just fucking throwing hand grenades. And yours is more of a, you get the nose up, then it comes up here, and it sort of like slides into it. I don't know how.
Yeah, you know, no, you'll know what your setup is. Where, like, he also developed at the same time, like a cool, when he lays the, there is a thing I like to do where you like lay a line down and then like walk away. Like you farted kind of like who did that? Like I which he does really well. It's the thing I like of where if I say something like, you know, they might not like where I'm like, I'm as upset as you are. I don't know. Like, I try to like just Gavin Newsom myself away from the thing I just said.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've seen you like three times. I've seen you like three times. I've been there live three times. One, I think, was in Boston. And I think the other one was Nashville, and one at in LA.
Wait, who did you two? Three times? Jeselnik?
No, you.
Oh, you saw me in Nashville? No shit.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh, I must not know. I didn't know you back then. But yeah, that was
yeah.
I got to go back there. I love that club.
Dude, yeah, it's great. It really is. It's a great club. But I saw you there, and from the first time I saw you was in Boston. That's a long time ago. And then your thing had, I mean, you could see how they get better. You know how people get better and stuff.
Yeah, right.
But your flow, I don't know how to explain this right, but your flow was more like this, but now it's more like this. And it's a raise up and then boom, right down into it. That was all I was comparing you and the Jeselnik thing. Here's more like hand grenades, you know, and yours is right. More of a flow like that.
I'm trying to make it like, well, I am scared. I start and stop 50 thoughts, but I'm trying to make it where it's like I go on tangents and then I can come back to the original thing. And it looks like I meant to do that because I actually do have some kind of disability that I can't like, I don't know. I definitely have ADHD, all that shit. So I think very scattered, and then it's easy for me to just lose track of everything I was talking about. But if I say it right, I can plan it so it comes out like I meant to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to go to the show.
Okay, cool.
Dude, thanks for coming up.
Yeah, have a good show, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
All right, wait, plug your show again in your book.
Oh, The Behavior Panel and Understanding Body Language. Don't worry about it. All right, man, have a good show.
All right. Because I can't get right. I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.